Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. We're looking forward to having our guest Jimmy Mitchell join us in a few minutes. We're going to talk story about culture, about art, about redeeming our culture. That's going to be, I'm really looking forward to doing that. One of my favorite works of art, I have a very rare opportunity to see some incredible art that most people don't get to do, because normally I'm surfing or paddling or walking along the beach every day. And one of my favorite works of art is daddies making sandcastles with their children. And they can be incredible. They can be just a little, it could be just a little simple little sandcastle, or it could be a fortress that's designed to withstand the surf, or it could be something really fancy. Maybe even they make a little, you know, creatures or things like this on the sandcastles. And it's called installation art, I guess, because by high tide, those castles are gone. But it's just so beautiful to me to see the spirit of the father who's obviously has built sandcastles in his youth and now is teaching his children how to do that. You know, and my daughter, Naomi, has she's an artist. She has always been involved in an art commune or doing her own art collective, I guess they call them. And she has a small gallery in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and she does installation art. She'll go on and she'll build this beautiful project inside of a school building or something, or an office building or something. And it stays up for maybe a week or 6 weeks and then it's gone. I mean, it just kind of tells a story about our lives too, that we are a work of art. We are the work of art of the Lord, and that we have, we're here and then we're gone. And what kind of impression are we going to leave on people while we're here? You know, Father Robert Spitzer in his five books that he's written, on the soul's upward yearning, talks about how our soul desires justice, truth, love, and a sense of going home. But one of the parts of our spiritual rational soul that's uniquely infused into human beings by God is a desire for beauty. And, you know, when I'm on the beach, people go, wow, look at that beautiful sunset. And, you know, if you point at a beautiful sunset, and all you see is the sunset, you're missing out, because you should be seeing the creator behind that sunset. It's like when my children are little, I would point my finger, I go, look at that. And they'd look off in the distance like, what are you pointing at, Dad? And I go, look at my finger, isn't it great? You know, stupid dad joke. But that's what we end up in, a world when we look at beauty and we don't look past it to see our beautiful creator. And so we have Jimmy Mitchell with us today. He has I think it's an essential and very difficult ministry in bringing the world beauty and truth through his ministry, lovegoodculture.com. Aloha, Jimmy Mitchell.
How you doing, Bear? It's great to be with you.
I'm doing great. Where are you today, by the way?
I'm actually in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah.
Is that where you usually live?
No, I live in Nashville, Tennessee, which is, as you probably can imagine, a hub of creativity and faith. So I'm already kind of missing home today. That's right.
So, and your major artistic bent is in music, or what is it in?
Yeah, primarily music. So I write little film scores, typically for movies that don't exist. And I'm surrounded by singer-songwriters across every genre of music. And yeah, that's kind of at the heart of our mission, is coming alongside these recording artists and musicians.
It's so cool. You mean to bring them, you know, music is so powerful. In fact, I understand that Lucifer, who was one of the chief angels, was responsible for worship.
And that's crazy.
And so that he obviously had a music, worship, you know, and music go hand in hand. And so you can see his use of music in the world today. Mm. And we need to bring invade this world with God's beauty and truth, and the beauty of not just music, but every form of culture.
That's right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it took us a little while to see that, in fact, this is so much bigger than just music. You know, about 6 years ago, we launched Love Good very much with a vision of rallying around singer-songwriters. We did a 45-city house concert tour in about 60 days. It was crazy.
That's tough, man. That is so tough.
It was grueling. But then after a while, it became really clear that we had a foundation of support. We had patrons who believed in what we were about. And more than just musicians on our hand, we had visual artists. We had film writers and authors as well.
Yeah, you know, and then I look at, you know, we have a lot in common, a lot to talk about, because what we're trying to do with our reality TV show on EWTN, the motorcycle TV show, is cinematic and artistic. It's really tough to do a 26-minute or 28-minute show on an extremely low budget and deliver that. But I think Shane Wozniak, my son, does an incredible job with that budget and does some incredible artistic work, because we want to grab people's attention with the art and have that beauty open them up to the truth. Mm. Is that a good way of saying it?
That's a beautiful way of saying it. In fact, that's really our instinct, that beauty knows no enemy. So if we can simply pierce people's hearts, captivate them first, and then let truth and goodness invade next, then, you know, I think we'll not just see conversion of heart, but evangelization of culture. We've got to let beauty lead and let beauty speak first.
Well, the very word culture has the root word in it, cult, which is religion.
That's
all,
right.
All culture is rooted in man's upward yearning. It just, it finds different expressions. Sometimes it results in a downward yearning too, but something for that something out there. Hey, Jimmy, so you're this musician, you go on this long tour. Did you ever fall off the stage?
You know, we would typically be playing in living rooms and backyards, so there weren't too many stages
no decks.
To fall off of.
Well, okay, so I'm going to tell you something. So I'm going to give you public relations advice here. You got to fall off a stage, dude. If you don't fall off a stage, you're just not legit.
Yeah,
am
the
I
worst
right?
ever happened. I had a piano or a big, nice keyboard fall flat on my lap when I was playing it and go crashing down to the ground to everybody's sort of awe and wonder. I had to recover from that moment, but it wasn't the same thing like falling off stage.
Well, I mean, so what happened to the keyboard? Did you keep playing, or the show must go on, or did the keyboard break? Or
I just laughed my rear end off and tried to make a solid joke. And then we got the keyboard set up within 30 seconds and we just kept on going. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is at times like that, like when I do public speaking, or I used to actually lead worship in a Catholic charismatic group way back. It always seemed that once I had made that first mistake, things went better.
So true.
No longer going on my strength, but on the Lord's strength, right?
Amen. Amen.
Are you playing to all kinds of different groups?
Yeah. Really, our primary demographic is, believe it or not, millennials. We've got a lot of people in their 20s and 30s who are crazy about Love Good. Those are the ones quickest to sign up as patrons, which are the folks who subscribe and get all of our content before anybody else. But they're also the ones most likely to host a house concert, to bring me in to speak at a young adult or a youth conference. I do a lot of traveling, and it seems like even beyond the walls of the church, we have this growing interest among Christians across denominations who are saying, actually, there's a power here that we're not tapping into, right? It's not enough to just stand on a street corner and preach. We've got to first win people over, win their hearts. And then, you know, we can, through friendship and accompaniment, bring them into the heart of God himself.
Do you ever find the opportunity to sing to non-Christians? I mean, like, you know, a coffee shop or someplace like that, where you just kind of have an open forum.
So that's what's interesting. Most of the singer-songwriters that we work with are putting out what you would call secular music, in the same way that The Lord of the Rings is a secular work of great literature, right? It's not obviously Catholic. It is subtly and deeply Catholic, rooted in a sacramental imagination. That's what our artists are all about, which means that primarily they don't play in churches. Believe it or not, almost all of our events take place in pubs, in homes.
So happy to hear that. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of good things happening in the church, right? We've got a lot of great musicians and artists. Well,
but you know, but the Lord didn't say go out into the church and compel them to come to the wedding feast.
Yeah, yeah.
So go out into the byways and compel them to come. And there's nothing more compelling, you know, than music or art. To my wife and I love to watch The Voice, you know, and I pretend not to, but I love to watch The Voice because it's just sometimes it's just totally captivating, and you can see the window in people's soul sometimes when they let you, when they're singing. We're talking to Jimmy Mitchell from lovegoodculture.com. When we get back, we're going to find out a little bit about what makes him tick. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We want to remind you that we have our YouTube channel, Bear Wozniak YouTube channel. It's got so many great things there. We have the Ocean Sunrise Catechism there that's posted daily. We have the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show that you're listening to right now. You can actually watch that on YouTube if you go there and press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. We do a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff on our Long Ride Home shoot. And there's a lot of crazy stuff that just Cindy and I do. Like, I think probably the best video on there is her and I at the Spam Jam in Waikiki, which takes place right in front of our house. So we'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure and our guest, Jimmy Mitchell. Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Plus, good stuff happens when you support us at patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure. You get instant access to every radio show, Bear Wozniak Adventure, and our TV episodes, Long Ride Home, the instant we produce them, months before they even air. Plus, we give you all kinds of free stuff, coffee cups, t-shirts, and other things like that. Go to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure and become our patron. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that bell. We are here with our financial liberator, Tom Gripe, the president and CEO of Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Tom, tell us, what's the difference between a bank and a credit union?
Well, banks serve a great purpose in society, but they are really owned and operated on behalf of the owners, which are people that own shares in the bank. So the bank does business, and their profits, which is what they exist for, is to make as much money as possible and pump that money back to the owners. Credit unions, on the other hand, are a totally different animal. We are a co-op. We are a not-for-profit. And what that means is we exist solely for the benefit of our members. So we are not here to make a ton of profit. We are here to make enough profit to sustain ourselves and then pump everything else we can back into the pockets of the people who own us, which are our members.
We've been talking with Tom Gripe. He's the CEO of Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. You can go to Notre Dame FCU.com to find out more. The Financial Liberator.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. We want to invite you to go to our Patreon page. It's Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure Patreon page and become a donor. If you do, at the coffee mug level, you get all of our Bear Wozniak Adventure radio shows really early, which means about right now, if you were subscribed, you'd be getting the YouTube version of our radio shows about 9 months before they air. And if you subscribe at the $20 level, you get all of our Long Ride Home TV shows, of total all seasons pass access. Plus, every time we create a new episode, before it's all canned together in a season and delivered to the network, you get to look at the director's cut right away, and you have permanent access to it, and you can you know watch it when your family comes over. So that's our Patreon page, Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure. I got to tell you, a lot of us dinosaurs don't really know what that is. But it's a great way for people to say, I specifically want to support this ministry on a monthly basis so that they can have, they know they can rely on that funding so their ministry can go forth. And our guest, Jimmy Mitchell, is here. He also has a Patreon account. Hey, Jimmy, for us dinosaurs out there, explain to us how Patreon works and how they can benefit by being your patron.
You know, it's funny. Lovegood came into the picture about 6 months before Patreon. So before there was such a thing as Patreon, we were talking about patronage.
Really?
So our entire system is set up in-house, which means we don't have a Patreon account.
Oh, okay. So when I heard that word patron, it automatically triggered that.
I know. Well, thanks be to God, Patreon is helping us define our terms because most people had no idea what patronage was 6 years ago. So think about the history of the church, right? Like we have been for 2,000 years, a church of patronage. Everything from our beautiful churches with their stained glass
Michelangelo's
windows,
sculptures.
All the way down. That's exactly right. To the great Requiem Masses of Mozart and Beethoven. So to come alongside you and your Patreon account, to come alongside Lovegood and our own patronage model at lovegoodculture.com is a huge way, as you said, to rally around people we believe in and ministries we want to be a part of.
You know, I got to tell you, it's a walk of faith. And I tell you what, it's a long walk, isn't it?
That's right.
I mean, I think people involved in the new evangelization work harder than anybody I know. Mother Angelica just kind of gets a giggle, I think, too. She's like, I remember the first time I went in the EWTN studios and that beautiful portrait of her. You know, she's got that kind of, she's smiling and looking at you, and you're like, I've been waiting for you. I know something you don't know. Get ready to get to work. But people like Jimmy Mitchell so need to be and deserve to be supported. There's a in our Ocean Sunrise Catechism, Jimmy. I teach it every morning. By the way, speaking of beauty, the ocean is in the background when I teach at 7 a.m. Bear time. So if I'm in Waikiki, I'm there. If I'm in Florida, it's there. Or I like being in Ireland. There was the Patrick's Mountain in the background. But when I just end up having to do it out of a hotel room, hardly anybody will watch it. But I mean, yeah, no, they'll watch it. But I mean, when there's a beautiful ocean in the background, it gets all kinds of hits. So beauty is so important. But in the DDK, which we're doing a brief little study before we relaunch again through the catechism, it says, there's a saying back in those days, don't let the gift burn in your hand. The money that God has given you, a 10% donation is what's basically considered about the right, what Christians should do biblically. Actually, Christians should give it all. But if you're holding on to God's money, that's a problem. It's kind of hard for me sitting here to say this, but I'm a CPA, Jimmy, and I see Protestants giving 10% and Catholics basically giving away change. People like Jimmy Mitchell need to be supported. It would be a good moment for you to go check out his website at lovegoodculture.com and just see, hey, I want to give $5 or $10 a month or more a month and support him so that this ministry, you know, to the millennials, which are so hard to reach and in such a vital and communicative way. So, Jimmy, can you tell us a little bit about your own personal history and walk with the Lord?
Absolutely. So I grew up in a pretty, we'll call it normal suburban Catholic American family, right? You know, white picket fence and everything. And along the way, especially in Catholic education, I had the opportunity to go to some retreats and I'll never forget the first time kneeling on a concrete floor in the North Georgia mountains, surrounded by the beauty of God's creation, but also in front of God himself in the Eucharist. And it was the first time I'd ever been to adoration. And it began this lifelong relationship of love that's been unfolding ever since. Next thing I knew, I was going to Vanderbilt, which is in Nashville, as an undergrad, and I was surrounded by atheists and evangelicals and had to really decide who I was going to be. And, you know, beauty has been a huge part of this story. I remember mission work in Honduras that changed my life, studying abroad in London, the Brompton Oratory, getting to know Cardinal Newman, now St. John Henry Newman.
Amen. Like,
these are the big influences that...
And you love Tolkien, obviously, and...
Absolutely.
A little bit of G.K. Chesterton thrown in or not?
Yeah. We just published a copy or a version of Orthodoxy that has a beautiful commissioned artwork cover. And,
it makes me kind of, it chokes me up, dude. The love for my friend G.K. In this day and age, you know, I have a tin photo of him that I got made, and I have it out on my lanai, my own little man cave with where my cigars are, right?
Absolutely.
GK, man, so beautiful to meet someone who loves that mind, because it means you have a beautiful mind too.
Well, check this out. So I go to England about 3 times a year, and I'm constantly having to tell the story of Chesterton because they just don't know him.
I know.
You can go to his hometown of Beaconsfield and people just don't get it, you know?
Wouldn't it be cool to do a pilgrimage from G.K. Chesterton's house to C.S. Lewis's house?
Let's do it. You and me.
Tolkien's house? Wouldn't that be awesome, dude? Let's do a long ride home motorcycle run, you know?
That sounds awesome.
But that wouldn't be G.K. like. We would have to ride a bicycle or do a nice long walk, right?
That'd be cool.
And so there became, you got to study in England and... We're exposed to those people, and then so when you had that moment of adoration, you were in college.
It was actually high school that first time in adoration took place, and then it was soon after that, you know, I had to decide, like, where was this going to take me? You know, was I so convinced of God's love that I could build my entire life around it, or was it just going to be a convenient part of my week on Sunday mornings? And I think... every step of the way, it was like the Lord kept bringing me deeper. Like the mystery and the beauty just kept pulling me in. And next thing you know, I'm spontaneously, without anybody telling me to, I'm going to daily mass and I'm praying a daily rosary. I'm just getting swept up in the church.
Oh, praise God.
And realizing, hey, this is it. This is the fulfillment of all desire right now.
Oh, don't you love that?
Yeah.
Now that's Ralph Martin's book. Fulfillment of All Desire. I love that book. It synthesizes basically the spiritual teaching of all the great doctors of the faith. I could tell that you're in love with God. You know,
that's about the one thing I got going for me most days. You know,
I got to tell you, Jimmy Mitchell. He's also, besides the musician, you're an incredible speaker. How often do you when you have a chance to teach or to be in a like a Steubenville conference or something like that, you play your music, but then do you usually teach too? Or how, because you're teaching, because it comes right from the heart, but it can come from the heart and be really boring too. But you are able to, you know, you have this ability to grab people's attention is what you would be a good person to have on right after a lunch high in carbohydrates. You probably keep them going.
Depends on the mood. But, you know, primarily I'm traveling as a speaker and I incorporate the music into that rather than the other way around. So often I'm given a 30-minute keynote at a conference and then I'll build a 5-minute song into that just to give everybody a chance to reflect and to encounter God in a little bit more of a silent way. Because actually I don't sing. You don't want to hear me sing. I just write these piano compositions with typically string quartet accompaniment and really want the beauty of that alone to speak and to give people a chance to go a little bit deeper.
Are you using string quartets or are you using digital versions of that?
It's all recorded live.
So
violin, viola, cello, upright bass, all of that's recorded.
Oh, no, man. You forgot. You know, I'm a professional ukulele player.
Ah, we got a collab.
You know, uk means flea and lele means dancing. So dancing flea. No, I've made quite a bit of money playing my ukulele because, like, I'll be playing it. And people will come up and say, I'll give you $20 not to play, right? So that's professional, right? I get paid when I play. So
I saw that coming. Well done.
Did you? But I do love playing my hook. I used to play the drums, dude.
That's cool.
Then I went to a smaller thing, the guitar.
Yeah.
And then I got into the first, what they used to call those Walkmans, I guess, the you know, your, how you could carry your music with you.
That's right.
I used to do my hiking. I would carry my Ook. I said, that's my own personal, you know, personal music I can take with me when I'm hiking. We are talking with Jimmy Mitchell from lovegoodculture.com. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I want to encourage you guys, go to our website, deepadventure.com. Hey, Jimmy, we got these cool things, really inspired by the Lord. The Bear's Man Cave 7 Virtue Cigars, if you can believe that.
Yes, I've been checking this out.
It's a cigar for each one of the virtues, and people love them. I mean, you can get a whole box of just one of the virtues or a mixed box if you want to, but the basic sampler of the 7 virtues, like I was at the EWTN studio last week, and where I'm at, you know, the hotel where everybody stays. Now, I didn't stay in one of their little houses, but we were out there for the EWTN conference too. And a guy comes out and says, "Hey, man, you got an extra cigar?" Because he saw me smoking it. And I gave it to him. And now we're talking about the virtue that's on that label for that cigar. Because when you can't smoke it without unpeeling it. And inside there, it'd say, here's the virtue of Coraggio, and then fortitude in English. And a quote from one of my books on that. And what's happening is men love to have that time of solitude with just the brothers. It kind of tends to chase women away. And it's a mini vacation. And to have a conversation that's a little deeper than football can be really cool. So you go to our website, deepadventure.com, our web store there. We've got the Warrior Rosaries and my books and all kinds of other Long Ride Home cast member t-shirts and all kinds of cool stuff. So go to deepadventure.com and check it out. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Hey, I want to give a shout out to some of our patrons. You know, all these guys that I mentioned, right? We have men and women. By the way, our guest Jimmy Mitchell today. Hey, Jimmy, are people who love our ministry the most are women? They're like, oh, I can grab my brother and my son and my husband and have them watch this show. But I wanted to give a shout out. I decided I needed to start doing this and thanking people like Pat Gervais, Ace Bagley, Peter Morton. These guys are all members of Knights on Bikes, who are also Patreon donors and members of the Man Cave. And also John Clapucci, who really kind of helps me run the Man Cave. And the man of the hour, if you happen to see him at the very end of episode 12 of 11 of Long Ride Home, in the beginning of 12 of Long Ride Home, our TV show, you see his sons demonstrate an incredibly powerful roundhouse kick to, I guess, an unexpected area. Ted Scarpino, famous now in legend, Joe Gomes, and wanted to thank Jerry Cohn, you guys, for donating to us on Patreon. Huge blessing, and thank you for being a part of Bear's Man Cave. We have Jimmy Mitchell with us here from lovegoodculture.com. Okay, Jimmy, I want to take a deep breath now. I'm going to take off my glasses for those of you watching on YouTube. Let your vision out. Just tell us everything.
Wow, that's a big question. You know, I, along the way, especially as my own deepening of conversion was unfolding, I would encounter a lot of very sincere Christians who seemed to live in isolation. You know, they would sort of create these subcultures, which was fine, you know, especially when you're in college and you're trying to be strengthened in your faith, or particularly sort of vulnerable seasons of life, it makes sense to turn in a little bit and to be strengthened by the church. But I saw one after the other fairly unable to evangelize their secular friends, atheists and agnostic friends. And I found myself kind of realizing that, you know, just beating people over the head with my Bible or crushing them with my catechism was never going to be enough. And I was growing weary of a lot of the Christian media that I was consuming myself. Like, I had kind of made the jump from mainstream to Christian, and I just found it increasingly unsatisfying because there wasn't a depth, there wasn't an engagement with the human experience. There was just this consistent, you know, often sincere, you know, bringing of the gospel and praying through the Psalms to people through, you know, very contemporary music. But like, my goodness, at a certain point,
it seemed almost like a formula.
It does. And the Christian music industry is very much an industry. And so I kept finding these independent artists who were tired of it themselves that, you know, were deep into their faith, but wanted to do something richer, more like human, to be honest. And so not only was I discovering these artists, I found myself bringing them into my living room for house concerts. I put on live music festivals in partnership with the 40 Days for Life. I did these crazy house concert tours and realized, hey, maybe I'm not the only patron out
there. I think
there,
this house concert, you know? Concept, you got to understand, Jimmy, like, we have this thing called Bear's Man Cave, right? Men can join, they go to our website and join, and then become part of our secret Facebook group. And we encourage and post and share with one another, inspire one another. But every two or three weeks, we have Zoom video chat meetups. Mm. And we're all together. But then the thing is, those men now are starting man cave groups on their back deck.
I love it.
It's that step before we can get people to church.
That's right.
To someone's home to listen to your music, to listen to these concerts. You got to come over. I got a friend of mine that's going to play. We just say, come on over. We're going to have some cigars and a shot of whiskey on the back porch, maybe a barbecue. Come over and meet some great guys.
You can't say no to that.
Yeah, it sounds so intriguing and so different. So I really get it. I mean, I'm a really big believer in this because, like, I love that Man Is You program. It's for men. I started it and helped get it launched in Honolulu. But, man, you can't get people there if you don't first have them in the backyard and have a barbecue with them. You got to be, it's kind of fringalization or something. I don't know how you would say it. You need to make, you need to meet them where they're at and then bring them in. So what was your response to these house concerts that you were doing?
Well, initially overwhelming because, as I mentioned, in the summer of 2013, we did 45 cities in 60 days, as far west as LA, as far north as Boston, and as far south as Tampa. And by the end of it, I vowed I was never going to hit the road again. You know, it was exhausting.
Yeah, I know the feeling, man. When we shoot our TV show, I know the feeling.
That's right. But it kind of laid the foundation for what we've now been doing for 6 years consistently. And I think the reaction has been ever deepening because people recognize, hey, in my own life, it's not easy to invite people to mass or to convince them to go to confession if they've been away from the sacraments for 10 years. But if I can find a way in, like an entry point, specifically through beauty, through an evening of live music, through the handing off of a beautiful commissioned work of art or an exclusively published book, something that feels fresh, then suddenly there's a way to engage the heart and then eventually, you know, open the soul to God.
I totally dig that. Do you guys ever have book readings, a little bit of a book reading here and there?
Yeah, I'm a big nerd. So back home in Nashville, like we'll host these little out loud book reading parties. We'll do like The Jeweler's Shop by Carol Wojtyla. We'll do a 2.5-hour out loud reading of it, you know, with glasses of wine or beer, craft brew, whatever. And it'll be epic. We'll get like 20 people who just want to have a moment you know, culture.
How can people do what you're doing?
Well, see, this is it. Like, I think it's what you're describing by way of inspiring these men to start their own man caves. We have now patrons who bring in house concerts independent of us 3-4 times a year. We have patrons who have started book studies because they're receiving all of this content from us. And now they might buy it in bulk or they might simply direct people to the digital version of it and then have these regular gatherings of family and friends.
I just think it's the coolest.
Yeah.
I think it's the, you know, my daughter, especially Naomi in Santa Fe, she's such a community builder.
Mm.
But most of all that she does is in the secular side of things. But I just think, since she was a kid, she was a community builder. You know, she had poetry readings at the local coffee shop when she was in high school. Had published a little poetry magazine. This kind of gathering would be just, it would be, and you know, you do it in people's homes. But I've, here in Florida, I have a friend of mine who does art. Mm. He's a Christian artist, and I have my books. And we've done something at the local coffee shop here.
I did
a reading, and he displayed his art. And getting it out in the open and public like that too is going to be good. But so if people come to lovegoodculture.com, they can find you and you can help them, you know, to get this started. Maybe go out and help them, or just tell them this is how we do it. What we're doing with the men's movement, if we have something called Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance, and we're getting all the leaders around and saying, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. So why should someone reinvent the wheel if you've already probably blown it a few times, but you figured out what works and what doesn't work, right?
That's
like,
right.
What time does it start? How long does it last? Do you quit on time? You know, things
all
like that,
above.
Right? They're significant.
That's exactly right. And there's a lot of easy ways for people to be exposed, especially to the music that we're putting out that you can't find anywhere else. If you go to lovegoodculture.com/free, you not only get a mixtape, that's an old word from the 90s, you know, but a collection of live songs that have been recorded at these house concerts. You also get onto our email list and get ongoing inspiration and ongoing sort of resources that I think empower you to evangelize culture through beauty.
Well, your main gift is keyboard.
That's
and,
right.
and writing music. And then how about, do you have a singer that comes? Is there lyrics that you, who writes the lyrics, things like that?
You know, back in the day, I was recording and actually traveling quite a bit with an artist whose name is Colleen Nixon. And we did some sacred music projects actually with Ignatius Press called Marian Grace. And she is still someone to this day that I travel with quite a bit. But again, really, a lot of my travels is simply as a speaker. And then I'm working alongside a lot of these different artists and singer-songwriters where, you know, if we do an event together, I'd be given a half-hour talk, they'd be doing a half-hour concert, and then we would, you know, just have a time to get to know people afterwards.
Beautiful. Hey, you know who one of the great lyricists of all time is?
Eva Cassidy. No, Paul Simon. Who? What do you think?
Mike Aquilina.
Oh, Mike. Oh, my dear friend, Mike.
Yeah, do you know he writes lyrics for Dion, right? Did you know that?
I did not. That's crazy.
I think there's probably an old baby in there or something. I don't know. But it's so crazy that this gifted scholar and early church father is a lyricist for one of the early rockers, Dion, you know, Catholic rockers, of course, beautiful man.
That's crazy. I'm a big fan of Mike. He's a hero and an inspiration.
Oh, yeah, me too. I love Mike. In fact, I think I'll not do this show. I won't play this show. I'm going to go interview Mike and get him on.
There you go.
So we're talking with Jimmy Mitchell, and we're talking about beauty, one of the five upward yearnings of man. Let us know we're not just an animal, that gives us an awareness of something beyond ourselves, and how we really need to redeem our culture. I was at the EWTN event last week, the radio conference, and they played something that just blew me away. Have you ever heard Pope John Paul sing in his youth?
No.
You would not believe how gifted. He's a virtuoso.
Wow.
He's saying, I don't think it was Ave Maria, but it was a song to Mary. And he would be, I listened to him. He's Pavarotti. I mean, you wouldn't believe.
Huh.
I have to get his music when he was still in Poland, you know?
Wow.
When he was writing his screenplays, his voice is it sounds like it's more than just a voice that raw, like he's trained to sing. Praise God for, you know, he wrote, I believe an encyclical on art, didn't he?
Yeah. He has a letter to artists. That's
letter
really,
artists.
Really widely read. Yeah.
Letter to artists. I know when I wrote my first book, I read that and then sat down and began to rewrite what I had written. We're talking with Jimmy Mitchell from lovegoodculture.com. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be right back.
Good stuff happens when you support us at patreon.com/ Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure. You get instant access to every radio show, Bear Wozniak Adventure, and our TV episodes, Long Ride Home, the instant we produce them, months before they even air. Plus, we give you all kinds of free stuff, coffee cups, t-shirts, and other things like that. Go to patreon.com/ Bear Wozniak Deep Adventure and become our patron. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that bell.
Aloha and welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I want to thank Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. I was with Bob last, I forget Bob's last name, but at the EWTN radio conference. And I love Tom Gripe and I love Bettina and Reba and the other members there at Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. When you walk into the credit union in Notre Dame, it's just like, it's kind of like a sacred moment. Not quite as sacred as going into the Notre Dame Stadium. But it's just, there's just something really special there. Tom Gripe really, the people there really practice a whole different way of doing banking. It's really not a bank, right? It's run for the benefit of the members. They helped me get a car loan on my used Cherokee, 2-year-old Cherokee in Waikiki, because we're in the middle of filming Long Run Home and I needed funding to kind of a bridge loan. while we were riding motorcycles, Bettina would text me, email me, send me something to sign online. And over a 3-day period, we got that loan done. And then we, I've never experienced such a great personal service as Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. We would really like you to go to our website and you can click on the Notre Dame Federal Credit Union .com link. And if you have a need, listen, I'm in Hawaii. Hawaii doesn't like out-of-state bankers, but somehow they took care of me, and we just really love them. So thank you, Notre Dame Federal Credit Union, for helping support Long Ride Home, our sole corporate sponsor. We would love to have you. If you're a corporation, want to help us out, contact us. Want to invite you guys also to join the Man Cave. Bear's Man Cave is pretty cool. The men from there's a group of guys called the Catholic Man Show. Adam and David over there have something called the Council of Men. It's a great group, too. Part of their radio show. I dig on these guys. They start with a review of a manly beverage and then some sort of manly gear, like maybe a MacGyver knife or something. I can't believe that the local radio ministry, I think it's St. Michael's, has them on the air, and I just dig on them so much. I wear their T-shirt sometimes just to get it seen on YouTube. But I just love these guys. They have a group called the Council of Men, which is kind of similar to my Bear's Man Cave. You should check them out. But the Man Cave, you go to our website, deepadventure.com, and you can become a member. And then there you will find men that are like-minded. Far from perfect, okay? Just really, just real regular guys that are wanting to go deeper with God and grow in virtue. And so we challenge each other, we inspire each other, we equip each other, we pray for each other. And then every 2 or 3 weeks, we do something kind of unique that I don't know anyone else that does. We have a Zoom video chat meetup. So all the men click on a special ID and we can see each other and we kind of talk story, encourage each other in what's going on in our lives. Some of the other men have started man caves in their backyard or in their den or whatever. And then we go through one of my books on the virtues. So join Bear's Man Cave. Women, this is a really good time for you to tell your men, come check this out. Go to deepadventure.com and there's a big warning sign. Don't click this button because it's dangerous to become a member of the Man Cave, and check it out. We have Jimmy Mitchell with us as a guide. I really love this guy and what he's standing for. We really need to redeem our times. And this is the age of the laity, and he's doing a beautiful work in the area of culture. Jimmy, your website is what?
Lovegoodculture.com.
When you go out and you speak, when you speak a lot, you need to get a hold of Jimmy and have him come speak and share. What would you say, what would be one of the key messages that you give? I know you've spoken at the Steubenville events and
that's right.
Other things like that. If you had only one thing to tell young people especially, what would you say to them?
Yeah. It's always the same thing for me. It comes back to this fundamental love affair with the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the opening paragraphs of Chesterton's biography of St. Francis, he says, "Let your religion be less of a theory and more of a love affair." And once that really becomes at the heart of your faith, you realize that the Eucharist, as Tolkien said, really is the greatest romance of all. You realize, as many of the great saints have said, that life with Christ is a wonderful adventure, to pull from St. John Paul II. Once romance, adventure, and the fulfillment of all desire is understood in the person of Jesus Christ, suddenly you can't help but respond. You can't help but want to be a saint. You can't help but want to storm heaven and bring an army of souls with you.
Think about this. When you go to heaven, there'll be people that come up and talk to you and say, you know, you watered a seed, or you planted a seed, or you harvested my soul for the Lord. There was a moment when because of God's ministry through you, I'm here in heaven.
Yeah, that's the hope. You know, I've got a group of 20 high school and college age guys who come to my house every Tuesday night back home in Nashville for ongoing formation, discipleship, brotherhood, accountability. And we dug into a pretty deep conversation last week about plenary indulgences, something that we don't talk about very much in the church right now, but you could have an arena full of souls that you helped get from purgatory to heaven just by being faithful to this little discipline that the church gives us. And not to mention the impact of our lives and our vocations, right? Like I really do want an army of souls in heaven with me. And I want to play some small part in everybody's journey that I meet along the way.
An eternal soul in heaven forever. Well, fathers have this unique, you know, I remember the moment in my life when in a real boring social studies class after lunch, it was like this cosmic experience opened up in my heart that I could be a father. participate in creating an eternal soul. You have a minute. You're seeing a unique ministry with fathers with their children now.
That's right.
Tell us what that's right. about.
It'd be really foolish to talk on and on about culture and never talk about the deepest wound in our culture today, which is fatherlessness. Mm. And so for most of the last 10 years, I've come alongside an apostolate called Fraternus, which does a lot of work to mentor and disciple young men in virtue. And we've just recently partnered to put on events all over the country called Reclaim Fatherhood. All the details are actually at reclaimfatherhood.com. It's a chance for men, ideally of parishes, all over the country to come together and really say, hey, we're tired of living in a world of perpetual adolescence. We're tired of not being the spiritual fathers that we're supposed to be, to pass on the faith to the next generation. And we're talking about living our baptismal call here. And yet at the heart of what it means to be a man is to be a father. And by and large, we're failing on a societal level right now.
Keep going.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is something I really believe in. And it's funny, man. I'm 33. I'm not yet married. Went to seminary, discerned out, very much hope to be married one day, but I'm still aware of the power of spiritual fatherhood in my own life. It doesn't matter if you're a dad, a granddad, or not even in a vocation yet. You as a man will never find more joy in this life than watching the faith come alive to spiritually father the soul of a young person in your midst. And I think especially young men, they're crying out for it. They want to be mentored. They're hungering for fatherhood.
Yeah, God said, I am the father to the fatherless. In Hawaii, my wife sees, we're in Hawaii, she goes, it's so different here. The men have their own tribe, and everyone 10 years younger than me calls me uncle. Wow. Even if I've never met them, I'm their uncle. And I've uncled them. They come up to me and ask me about a fight they got in or some other issue or whatever. But she says there is a community of men. She sees it much more clearly than I do, but there is a community of men there. And, you know, the father, the role of father, we say, oh, God is kind of like a father, you know. It's not right. God is father. Fatherhood, by its very nature, procreates. Eternally begotten son. That love, who did God love before he created any other beings? It was the eternal God. The Trinity had this love amongst themselves. Can you imagine being in the middle of that?
Yeah.
Wow. If God by his very essence is love, I've had glimpses of it, haven't you?
Yeah.
You just feel that shiny, sparkling something happening in you when you're in prayer. You know, there's moments of unexpected infusion, sometimes happening at the most unexpected places.
That's right.
At unexpected times when you get a glimpse of God's love. Can you imagine being in the presence of love like that forever? But God is a father, and he calls you and I, men, all men, to be fathers, whether in the role of actually having children in a family or a priest or just uncling those around you. We're called to be fathers, and it's not just like God's kind of a father. We have a unique calling to father the fatherless.
That's right. I'm reading this brand new book by Cardinal Seurat, The Day Is Now Far Spent. And he spends a whole section specifically talking about fatherhood and manhood and how they are inseparable. And he said, you know, to say the least, one of our greatest dignities as men is to reveal the fatherhood of God. And when we don't reveal the fatherhood of God, we're not just letting the world down. We're settling for a life of I would say quiet desperation, because we're not tapping into what we're most made for.
And certainly lack of meaning.
That's right.
We find our meaning, you know, people go, well, I got to get a job that I really love. Okay, actually, probably you don't. Yeah. Most people don't have jobs that they love, but you can have a job that's full of meaning because you're there to serve the customer and to help your boss reach his goals, those who may work for you, and to serve your family. You find your meaning in giving, in self-donation, not necessarily in saying, I've always wanted to be an interior designer. I'll be happy when I'm that. No, you're happy when you give your life away. We're talking with Jimmy Mitchell. We've run out of time. Where can they find you again, Jimmy?
That's right. Lovegoodculture.com, and specifically that event for men, reclaimfatherhood.com.
I'm going to email you, Jimmy, and make sure that you guys, I'm sure CMLA is already involved. The Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance, I'm sure, already knows about this. But, you know, we have maybe a couple hundred leaders of men's ministries. And wow. We have a monthly phone call, conference call. And then an annual, we're going to have our third event this summer again, where we're getting together and really working hard to help each other's ministries. So
amazing.
Great to be Catholic, isn't it?
It's so good. It's so good.
So the lovegoodculture.com for Jimmy and deepadventure.com for us. Until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to bearwoznik.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at bearwoznik.com.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY. That's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY. To get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees, available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.